questions about how SmartCat or Dr. Phillips NovaCell work. So basically, this is a my presentation is about the key mineralogical factors in the determining bantamness effectiveness in aflatoxin detoxification. Dr. Phillips has given an excellent overview of the aflatoxin toxicity, so I will skip this slide. I think his idea is he tried to use NovaCell for this problem. I think it's very practical because bantamnet deposit is widely available, distributed around the world. So every year there are more than 40 million tons of bantamnets worldwide. We have a lot of different varieties here, different color, different mineral compositions, but not all of them can work as an aflatoxin adsorbent. So for our group, our overall objective is to improve SmartCat's selectivity and adsorption affinity for capacity for aflatoxins. I think the critical question is how. So this is the basic questions we want to answer. We have three hypotheses here. The first hypothesis, we want to enhance the interlayer adsorption. Our previous study has indicated that aflatoxin can go to the interlayer, just like Dr. Tim Phillips has pointed out. So we need to have the SmartCat well dispersed, both in vitro and in vivo. So some Dr. Fitzpatrick just mentioned the sodium binding might be better. This is just only part of the story. The second one, we have found out a lot of SmartCats, if you check them on the microscope, actually in the aggregates, we have a lot of sealed sized particles. When they form those aggregates, there must be a continuous pathways to go to the interlayer. So we have some physical properties there. My student Anna Brentos, she is going to talk a little bit more how to enhance the accessibility of the interlayer space when we introduce the clays to the animal in the animal feed. Alright, I think I went backward. The second hypothesis we have, we must enhance the bonding strength between aflatoxin and the SmartCat. We have infrared data indicated that the two major bonding mechanisms we believe are direct cation, the polar oxygen here, the carbon oxygen ion dipole interactions. This is one of the reaction mechanisms. The second one will be the hydrogen bonding mechanism here. Basically, when we have water in the hydration shell, and then the water will function as a bridge. So we have some hydrogen bonding between the carbon oxygens and then the exchange cations. We did a little bit of molecular dynamic simulation by my colleague from Poland. So here, this is a starting very wrong model. We have the interlayer aflatoxin, we have a little water and the exchange cations, and then in the middle we have the smacked layers. So this is our starting model. We let it run about for 50,000 steps, and the last 10,000 steps will be the stable steps, so we can do some statistic analysis. From those data we have done, we can see those stabilized model fit our actual data very well. It's about 12.5 angstrom deep spacing, and now we can do a little bit of statistic analysis here. Here, what we can see, we have proposed that cation can interact with the oxygen scale. On each aflatoxin molecule, we have six oxygen atoms on those molecules. Which one is the most important position? So we have found out, of course, when we have water in the system, the sodium will interact with the water. But also, the second highest chance is to interact with those two carbon oxygens. And then less likely they will interact with those. So this is one case. And also even in the presence of water, I think we have both those reaction mechanisms going on. So the exchange cation can interact with both water and mainly those two carbon oxygen there. So this is another diagram shows the water. When we talk about hydrogen bonding, so water will which oxygens on aflatoxin they are interacting. So again, this one basically means the carbon oxygen are more important than other oxygens on the aflatoxin molecule. So this is the stabilized model. If we look at the interlayer water exchange cation and aflatoxin molecules, we can see they are not in the optimized configurations, they are very crowded. So one sodium case, so this is just a sodium case, this cat and F person, they do not have the optimum bonding configuration. The cations can form inner sphere, and a large of the cations can form the inner sphere complex with the smelter layers, and then the cation can interact with the water and alpha toxins simultaneously. So based on those models, we came out with one idea. If we reduce the number of exchange cations in the interlayer space, which means we need to have to use higher valence cations to replace those exchange cations, and then we have more space for alpha toxins. And another one is, so this is the first approach we are going to talk about. The second idea we have, if we can increase the distance between those cations, and then we may have more space for aflatoxin. Okay. Second one, if when we replace the cations with higher valence cations, we may enhance the ion dipole interaction. That we might be able to enhance the selectivity. And then, but also when we have high valence cations, we learn they have high hydration energy, we may have high competition here with from the water. So we have to do experimental verification. The idea we try to find out, if we can match the size of aflatoxin, and here we have a model on the right side, the hydrated cations. And in this case, I use calcium here. But this is a static model. In reality, probably aflatoxin can compete with the exchange cation too. So our experimental approach to test those three ideas, one is to vary exchange cations to change the cation distance, to change the amount of associated water, and also try to see what's the effect of bonding strength. Probably if we can optimize those effects then. The second one is we are going to select and select with adequate charge densities. We can, by charging density, we hope we can get an optimum condition for that too. And the third one is ongoing process research. We have tried to modify the cation exchange capacity by some old methods. So next year we will present that. So the fourth example we're going to show is a Greek sample from Greece. We numbered it with 37. What we did, we replaced the cations with 8 different cations here. On the left panel, we have the monovalent cations. On the right panel, we have the divalent cations. So from the data, from the graph, we can see for most divalent cations, they did a much better job than the monovalent cations. And also among the monovalent cations, lithium is the worst. So potassium probably is the best among the monovalent cations. So to answer the question, does sodium work better? The answer is no, because in chemistry, it doesn't work very well. So we do need to come to the divalent cations. So that's the reason probably Dr. Phillips mentioned or calcium monomer is better. Right, but here we also found out if we put the barium here, it did a much better job here. We have barium on the very top one. The calcium is in the second best. Strontium, initially we hope it will be in the between calcium and barium, actually is not the case. I think we still have to figure out those competitive effects here, hydration energy, ion dipole interaction, etc. So the second approach we test is try to see, investigate the different charge density, what kind of effects that we have. So we select the 6 samples here. And on the top 5, all of them are dominated by smelters. This is a glycerol treated pattern. This all of them have about 18 angstrom peak length on the smelters. The last one from Mexico, and it has some impurities here, so it interfered our explanation a little bit. Once I put on the CC, the 2 Texas spondylite and 1 MS, which basically is one lower cell from Dr. Tim Phillips' group, they're about 110. But for Arizona, Oklahoma, bandness level 130, so they are too high. So this is the adsorption isotherms. Those are the adsorption isotherms. On the right side, we can see those Mississippi and Texas bandness, they did an excellent job. The adsorption capacity is about 0.6 molar per kilogram means 20% by weight. So 1 gram of clay can absorb 0.2 gram of aflatoxin. That's a huge amount. And the steep slope also means the higher affinity there. But on the other hand, we can see the high CC Arizona, montmorillite, and Oklahoma, among that, they didn't do as good as the other two. Another factor we have found that all the absorption system was changing the shape, so we have to use different models to fit in the data. What it means, the affinity of those high density smack tests for aflatoxin actually are much, much lower. So to summarize the data, the Qmax, the absorption, maximum absorption capacity, and an affinity, we can roughly figure out the problem. The optimum condition is about C is about 110. That's our preliminary conclusion right now. We may still have to refine it because we still haven't found a lower CC, good and lower CC smack test yet. So some people ask this question. For smack test, we have a lot of different smack tests. We have dark touch smack test, track touch smack test. We have a charge originator from touch sheet or arc touch sheet. So we have a lot of different smack tests. So do those charge origin affect the absorbing capacity? What we have found? Yes, they do, but more important than the exchange cations. So on this diagram, you can see the calcium did a much better job than most sodium carbonate. In one particular case for hectorite, sodium hectorite did a very, very bad job here, so it didn't absorb too much at all. But once we replaced calcium, the absorption enhanced tremendously. So to summarize our findings, we can say smack test selectivity and the absorption capacity of aflatoxin can be enhanced by exchange diamine cations with lower hydration energy. The optimum charge density of smack test should be adequate if we have a 0.4 charge per half unit cell, and that's equivalent to 110 cc. And the smack test charge origin may play a less critical role in aflatoxin absorption. Right, the last slide where I would like to acknowledge our funding agents and some people helped with this project. Okay, any questions?